none of you people can tell me to stop. Lower the lights down, hand over my crown, hand over my heart. I do this for my town, I do this for my crowd. So turn me up real loud. My time, my time, none of you people can tell me to stop. Turning the track up, I'll never go back down. Hand over my heart, I do this for my town, I do this for my crowd. So turn me up real loud. My time, my time, none of you people can tell me to stop.
What's up, everybody? Thank you for listening to Next Gen Radio. This is a talk show where we bring you the fun facts about fitness, health, diet, and exercise. This is episode number 84. I am Mike Ercolano. I am here with a full table of fitness professionals, and we're here to talk about feet today. Across from me, I got Kelly Kress.
Hello.
Anthony Zaro's back on the show, and John Esposito.
Hello.
Somebody you've heard before. So, all seriousness, we are here to talk about some feet today. We're going to talk about training barefoot, the protocols, the pros and cons, and why most people was it the dog up in
I thought that was your foot.
No.
Okay,
it was not my foot.
No,
speaking of
feet,
it was not my foot. That was my dog. Good thing there's I mean, I guess I wish there was some video to that, because that might become kind of awkward just hearing the audio. Seriously, talking about feet, barefoot training, or minimal shoes training. It's been a topic for, I don't know, a few years now. It's mm-hmm. been getting more and more popular. More and more people are wearing the barefoot type shoes, including myself. I used to make fun of a former staff member for wearing them because they looked like frog toes or whatever, like the webbed feet, and like, I don't know, like, they look stupid. I understood the concept, but, you know, don't show up and train people. And in my opinion, these people are paying you money. You gotta, you know.
Well, it's different if you train.
You can't look like an idiot. Yeah. Well, right. If you train in them, yes, but
that's
not
one
when
thing.
I'm not when I'm paying you to be.
Correct.
But anyway, there's probably a lot of people who disagree with me on that, but they're not on my payroll,
toes.
So it's
right.
Okay. But anyway, now I guess a lot of these shoe companies have gotten the hint that most people don't want to walk around in shoes that look like that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're starting to make shoes that look kind of normal. And that brought me on to wearing the I think they're Vivos, right? Vivo Barefoot.
Mm-hmm.
I wear those daily, and when I work out, because of all the benefits that we are gonna cover in today's show.
Mm-hmm.
So our foot expert is John. the awkward laugh. I mean, we're talking about training here. I don't know what they're thinking about, but he is our expert of feet.
I guess you can put that title
all
there.
That should be on your...
All Things Tarsal.
Yeah, All Things Tarsal.
Nice. That should be the name of the show.
That sounds a little bit more official.
I'm going to call it that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be the
things
feet expert.
Tarsal. Yeah.
You don't want to be the foot guy?
No.
Yeah, you might have a business there, an Instagram account there.
All Things Tarsal? Mm.
Yeah. Mm.
Totally Tarsal.
I know who could run that account, too. One of my old members. Who,
yeah, did
all
take
the
feet
clients,
picks for you?
He was very into feet.
Oh, boy.
Kelly knows that.
I think I know, too.
I can't say his name,
right,
but he
is.
Told you how he wanted, how into feet he was.
Yes.
You know, and he was always
Thank
asking
you for
foot
that
questions.
Warning, which I did not receive before I trained him.
You're welcome.
Did you show up barefoot?
No, but it was UGG season, and he was very interested in those, in the inside,
in
the smell of those UGGs. So I'll leave it at that. And he's
anyway.
Like, yeah. And this is an adult, so I mean, this is. Yeah,
it was
maybe
interesting.
Not,
hey, to each
you know,
their own.
He was an adult, you know, so this was...
yeah, but the best part was when I said something to Mike about it, he's mm-hmm. like, oh, yeah. I was like, well, you didn't want to give me a heads up on that?
No,
that's more fun not
like,
to.
Ooh, yeah.
I didn't think that would come up in conversation.
Well...
It took a while for him to bring it up to me, you know,
mm-hmm.
Like open up about his... foot fetish
yeah.
to me while we're working out. generally, it's not a conversation we have with clients, but this
not
is a special
way,
client.
At least not that way.
Yeah, so I was more of this guy's therapist than trainer. But when I was, I guess, away on vacation or something, Kelly, found out about his foot fetish, which I'm actually a little jealous because it took like a year of me training for him to tell me.
Oh, really?
It took you like 10 minutes for him to open up to you.
Well, they were on, you know, I always wear my Uggs, so they were on the side, and he just, I guess they caught his eye.
I guess so. I guess so. This show's already taking a turn that I was not
very interesting
expecting it to take. But anyway, back to our resident foot specialist or all about the tarsal. What is it?
Yeah, all about tarsal.
All totally about tarsal. Totally tarsal.
There you go. Something like
it's
that.
It's like a reality show. There are, I can't even fucking focus right now. There are serious benefits about training barefoot, running barefoot, walking barefoot. I think, I know you and I do. A lot of people probably follow the barefoot sprinter or something, like barefoot runner or something on Instagram.
Squat University, even. Right. Those guys are all about the same.
Yeah, I mean, you look at them, they're always outside running literally barefoot, but we're naturally supposed to be able to do that. At least we're born to be able to do that. It's just our society and the way that, you know, I guess fashion has evolved over the years. You know, we're wearing shoes now that are mostly rubber, you know, thick rubber soles, and it pretty much... long story short, shuts down the ability to use your feet.
Yep.
So training them, just like training any other muscle group or any other movement or movement pattern, is actually really important for long-term health, because everything, as an upright animal, starts from the ground up, right? Our feet are the contact to the ground. So if they're not strong and healthy and being able to do their job, it's going to cause issues right up the chain. So... foot doctor, take it away.
So, I mean, I'd probably go back in history a little bit, what's going on with this. So, obviously, as we all know, when shoes weren't around, when humans came around, they're kind of a very modern invention, like within like the last 5,000 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really used to be just a open sandal where your toes can spread out and everything like that. And our feet are supposed to do just that, spread out as much as your hands almost can, even if not wider than your hands typically can, because they're meant to have that much surface area. Hands and feet both alone will have, I think, more nerves than the rest of your body, not combined, but they have the vast numbers of nerves in your feet, more bones in your feet and your hands than anything else. So they have such a huge relation, but we shut one down and keep one moving. With your feet, there's just a lot that goes along with them. They, like we're talking about, ground you into the floor. They get you set in position. They set your nervous system, which is the most important part, into most movement that you do, whether it's walking, standing, even seated positions. Mm-hmm. If your feet are on the ground, you are in a more grounded position. Your body can stabilize better.
Right. I was going to mention the sensory part of it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we overlook that fairly often, especially, you know, training muscle groups and stuff like that as personal trainers. But the sensory aspect of your feet is essentially completely lost when we've grown up spending years wearing shoes.
Absolutely.
And you know, that's where, you know, we quote unquote train balance. We do balance training, put people on balance boards, or you know, do stuff like I don't even know. I personally think quote unquote balance training is a waste of time, because it's not, you know, that's for a different different show. But you know, we do these things, but in reality that starts with our feet being in contact with the ground and being able to send the signal up through the rest of our body of where we are in space and moving. So, you know, if we can't be able to turn the feet on, it's going to be very difficult to improve any type of balance.
Yeah. Right? I'll tell our clients, our feet are kind of like the foundation of not even a house, but the foundation of like a skyscraper, where they have so much wiggle room and give back between there, but they are still the most strong part of the building. Your feet are able to grasp into the floor, and they're able to ground themselves into the floor by making torque, making tension, and gripping into the floor, whether you realize it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also by engaging those muscles and that nervous system, engaging the rest of the system up the line. So your feet engage, your calves engage, your hamstrings engage, your hamstrings engage, your glutes engage. It is the same thing as that skyscraper flowing in the wind. Yeah, it's shaking side to side, but everything starts reverberating down to the feet or to its base of support, and it stays secure. It's allowed to have that movement. It's allowed to have that tension and security with some kind of freedom.
Mm-hmm. And being, understanding the chain, the movement chain, you know, so going up, if to keep it simple, from one joint to another, they affect each other. You know, obviously one moves, the other one's going to move or not move. So if your feet are weak, then probably your ankles aren't going to be able to stabilize. So where's all that going to go? It's going to right up the chain into your knee. So how many knee issues do we see in young athletes, and especially female athletes? And 5 years ago, I would look at that and start going after the hips and say they have weak hips and they have weak hip flexors. But in reality, I was probably not helping them at all, because it probably starts with their feet in most cases. You know, you have a lot of these young females, especially young females, you see it more often, but you see it a lot in young males, young male athletes, the tight ankles, the weak feet. And, they can't efficiently have good proper running mechanics, but it's also going to stop them whenever they have to change direction or accelerate, decelerate. That first point of contact of not being able to do that properly is going to go right up into the knee, and the knee is not meant to do that. The knee is a very simple joint that just flexes, right? So attacking the feet first is really, in my opinion, for a lot of people, should be the first step. Now, it's not sexy, it's not cool, it's not like, you're not bench pressing 500 pounds like you had a high school athlete come in and you want to get them better, and you say, let's take your shoes off and let's pick up these mini bands with your toes. They're gonna probably walk out of here, right? They're not good, but they'll probably benefit more from that than just jumping on the bench press or whatever.
I'm glad that you mentioned that too, because I was talking to one of our clients the other day, and this is kind of what sparked the idea of this conversation. A lot of what our feet do when it comes to that case it's long, and it's been a long process.
Did you say schlong?
No, long. It's a long.
It's schlong.
It's a long. It's a long process to get your feet into that kind of compact, inaccessible position.
Yeah,
and it's not that it's hard work, but it's consistent work that has to bring you back to it. It's not just go start working out barefoot. It's work out barefoot for a short period of time. Dig into the bottom of your foot with a lacrosse ball, tennis ball, whatever you have hard surface-wise to break up the fascia. Because you have muscle down there. You don't have a lot of muscle. It's more just breaking up quote-unquote scar tissue and fascia to get those joints to spread out, to get the bones to come away from each other so it's not so much stiffness. And then that helps us access everything else that comes from it, being able to grip the floor, being able to get the nervous system fire back up. Because with that tension, you're pinching nerves, you're pinching nerve ends, and you're turning off the nerves. You're basically turning off the foot, like you've been constantly saying.
Yeah, you're putting in a defensive mode, essentially.
Yeah, so our modern shoes kind of shove our toes together, keep everything together, and our goal with training your feet is to be able to counteract that movement, to get the big toe lined up with the foot, to get the pinky toe lined up with the foot. Once you get those two points of contact down, your stability comes back, your ability to feel the floor comes back, but it has to start with just simple walking around, digging into those feet, getting the tension out of the feet before you can even train barefoot.
Right. And, for practical purposes, I would tell people to start with just like their warm up, right? Even just their basic like mobility work, not even their dynamic warm up if they do one. Just start that way. Start walking around, start walking around at home barefoot, it's a process, because you could very easily injure yourself if you do it too quickly. And too much, right? Overuse. I mean, they're not, it's like going from a non-existing and non-using, usable, that's not the proper term, that's why smart people are here with me. but throwing everything on it. Like, remember, all our weight is pretty much forced down onto those two feet.
It's the same thing as any other body part. You've never worked it out before, so you've never worked your quads before. You do a couple lunges for a day or two, your quads are going to feel like crap. They're not going to feel good. Right. You got to build back into being strong in that position with low intensity first, then high intensity. Builds back up. It's just like any other part of the body. It has to have progression and regression from where the point you're at.
Absolutely. When I started wearing these barefoot shoes, these Vivo barefoots, my feet and legs and I would get terrible shin splints like all the time. And, and I stemmed that from my feet just being weak and, creating obviously imbalances going up the chain from that. But I wear them all day, every day now. I go for my walks outside.
Yep.
I used to just wear them for my walk and then change my shoes when I trained when I was in here. That was kind of how I started. And then eventually I just progressed to wearing it all the time. And now when I actually wear regular shoes, I like
doesn't
have,
feel right.
I
it's
pain.
Uncomfortable.
I do, mm-hmm. I have pain. Like my feet hurt, my, you know, I get like blisters and spots.
Absolutely.
On like my, like that aren't used to, I guess, yeah. taking pressure now.
Of course.
So it's weird. It's funny to see that and feel that change. And you wouldn't think it's that big of an impact, but it really does.
When you made the switch, is it suddenly like in the toe portion, there's so much room for your feet? Like, cause you know, we were talking about all being squished in front. So does it feel weird when you switch to this type of shoe?
Yeah. Right off the bat, it's kind of noticeable. You don't feel the room initially as much as you're expecting to.
Right.
But after you get a couple weeks into it and you've been walking around, you notice that you're actually feeling your feet, your toes spread out.
I was going to say, they're going to start to kind of spread out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been able to notice that sensation. As I'm about a year and a half in now, mm-hmm. with these shoes as well.
Now, I know you wear like toe spacers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a whole nother level.
That, let's talk about that. Is that something you wear inside your shoe? Is that what you wear when you are just barefoot?
Kind of the same thing. I used it progressively. Like I started off with 10, 15 minutes at a time, mm-hmm. not even walking, just wearing them while I was sitting in bed, wearing them while I was eating food, and then taking them off just because it was the same exact thing. I was just trying to build up resilience to it. But depending on the style of toe spacer, yeah, you can wear them throughout the day. You can wear them in your shoes. Like mm-hmm. now that I'm at like a further point in my foot training, quote unquote, mm-hmm. I use them. I'll use them for an hour. I even use them for full on workouts. Sometimes I'll deadlift in them and I'll notice a huge difference because it gets that last little bit of spread that I just can't access mm-hmm. myself. And I feel that security, but it's just another way to give myself feedback to make sure I'm getting to these more neutral or quote unquote neutral positions to find what my feet feel comfortable in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Going back to the barefoot shoes, the whatever brand, like I said, Vivo Barefoot. I used to be someone who liked to lift barefoot, mm-hmm. especially lower body day. I would just take my shoes off. And now I actually prefer lifting barefoot or with my barefoot shoes as opposed to barefoot.
I'd agree.
I feel like I have actually better contact with the ground, mm-hmm. Because it allows, you know, my feet to spread out and have like that base to grip off of. When I notice when I try to do it barefoot with no shoes at all, I go back to older tendencies. My foot will kind of, I'll try to grip, it'll kind of curl in and grip the floor, and I'll have some pronation.
Mm-hmm. Pronation.
When your
ankles go in, isn't that pronation?
Yeah, you're rolling in like so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, pronation.
So I have some pronation.
Well, it's the one thing. Are the shoes trying to train your toes to go into that position, which it trains pronation because your body tries to grip the floor by digging down and underneath themselves, mm-hmm. as opposed to out and down.
Right.
And that's the big thing, too, I've noticed with these shoes or noticed by doing this stuff. I can find the difference now. You're not trying to grab the floor and tuck your toes underneath, make mm-hmm. your arch as huge as possible. You're actually trying to flatten your arch out, make as much space into that while keeping the ankle stiff. And having that toe ability, that ability to spread your toes, allows you to corkscrew into the floor, mm-hmm. or allows you to torque into the floor. And that's how your foot actually flattens out and engages, mm-hmm. as opposed to how our normal shoes put you in. They kind of compress forward and you get stiff. You get stuck in the front of that ankle.
Right. It's the same concept as when you bench press or do a push-up, right? Mm-hmm. You want to corkscrew your hands into the ground.
Yep.
Yeah. It's the same thing, but just your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I was going to ask about people with flat feet.
Yeah, like, I can actually talk about that. Because I have very flat feet, and I spent my life as a track athlete. And mm-hmm. every shoe store you go into, they try to sell you some big cushy shoe with all mm-hmm. the support.
Mm-hmm.
And I always had calf problems and shin splints, and my feet would hurt. And then as I got older and into high school, I started training a few days a week without shoes on, doing all my jump training with no shoes and barefoot.
Mm-hmm.
And my feet stopped hurting. My shin splints started going away. My calves stopped hurting. My knees got stronger.
Mm-hmm.
My flat feet stopped being a problem. Like that, mm-hmm. I still have flat feet, but they don't bother me in any way, shape, or form anymore.
Right.
I got through my whole life, they tried to sell me orthotics and like those super supportive shoes. And you know, that stuff, I guess, kind of helped for the time being. But then once I started training barefoot and actually building all those muscles and getting all of that
right.
mobility and everything back into my feet, like we were just talking about.
It's almost like being natural.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then that those cushy soles, the insoles or whatever mm-hmm. that they sell you for $9 million yeah. a pair or whatever.
Yeah, your they go through your insurance.
They go through your insurance, which is
yeah, like $300 bucks. I mean, mm-hmm. yeah. easy.
All a scam.
Like one pair.
All yeah. a scam.
It's all a scam.
But let's go back. But I thought the track shoe like spikes. Mm-hmm. Those to me look like a piece of cardboard. So, with spikes on, like what's up with them?
Sprint spikes themselves, like high level sprint spikes, are a piece of plate metal with metal spikes in them and the thinnest fabric you could ever have with shoelaces on it. And it's basically like being barefoot. So a lot of the times, a lot of our track guys that don't train barefoot, they're true sprinters, if they wear their spikes for more than one race, their calves cramp up, their legs cramp up, their feet are killing them, mm-hmm. and they have a hard time running for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because they're not used to being in that shoe where they're basically barefoot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't train in those shoes?
No. We hardly ever train in them. They're for specifically the races. We'll train in them as we get closer to competition and while we're in season. But very minimally. You try to stay out of your spikes as much as possible.
Hmm. Interesting.
Or at least that's how I train my guys.
Yeah.
But I also, being a track coach, everything that you're talking about, all those high school athletes, you know, they want to do the fancy lifts, they want to do the squats, but mm-hmm. I train my guys and girls barefoot a few days a week. My jumpers do barefoot training in the sand pits. And I did that a lot last year, and I saw a lot less injuries
mm-hmm.
and a lot less lower joint injuries, ankles, knees. And it all stems back to the feet.
Yep,
I completely agree with everything. In my own training and the way that I train my athletes now, it all goes back to the feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I want to bring the conversation back to, you know, when you were training and when you were competing mm-hmm. and, you know, you go to the stores or whatever, they're trying to give you the shit to help your, you know, shin splints or whatever, and yeah. it just made it worse. At what point did you say, you know, this is not working for me? Or was it something you just kind of went with because you were supposed to do that?
So basically I didn't realize that there was I would just train barefoot as much as I could mm-hmm. was my solution. I would do my distance runs and things like through trails and longer runs on the track in my shoes or my spikes. Jump spikes have a little bit more cushion than sprint spikes do, so it's not like being totally barefoot or at such an aggressive angle as those sprint spikes mm-hmm. so it doesn't take as much of a toll on your legs, so I would do a lot of my training in those. But then when I was in college, I found the On Clouds, and they feel like being barefoot. They legit, like to me at least, there's a lot of space in them. They're nice and secure to your foot, and I loved training with them.
Right.
I didn't realize that there was a better training shoe until I found it.
Right.
And
right.
That
you
was,
were never educated on it, right? Exactly. There's nobody who told you.
Yeah. No. It's hard to just go and get a pair of those barefoot shoes, because at the time it was just those ones that had the little toes
yeah.
and they're
right.
they're tacky and hokey looking and
yeah
and,
no,
and
they look like shit, just
right.
say it.
We remember
and,
those.
Yeah, look stupid in them.
And all of the talk about, you know, training for running was those big supportive shoes,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's just I don't agree with it. I
right.
think it's literally like I don't know, putting, it's like a crutch.
Right. Well, that's exactly what it is. And it just, in my opinion, and just from experience, it makes the problems worse.
Exactly.
It doesn't help in the long run. It's like taking, you know, painkillers for pain. Yes, it might get rid of the pain,
yeah.
you know, but it
doesn't solve the issue.
Doesn't fix it, right?
Band-aid.
You know, like when I ran the marathon, the one and only marathon I'll ever run in my life. I think part of what ruined the, not ruined, but lessened the experience for me about a month before, I hurt my knee training, running,
yeah.
something. So my training was really limited coming up to it for the last month or so.
Right.
And I went to the same thing. I went to, you know, shoe running store, and I got, they gave me the biggest, thickest shoes, and it was like literally like running on pillows,
yeah.
and it helped my knee at the time. Yeah, it yeah. helped me get through 26 point whatever miles because my knee was pretty jacked up.
Right.
But if that's what which I know it is, if that's the type of shoe that they give most of these people. How many of our members come in wearing these big running shoes with this super thick? Because that's what they say. Oh, well, you know, you have knee problems, this will help. You know, you get shin splints, these will help, right? Like, and it's just not helping the problem. It's actually making it worse.
What those footsteps that you have, what are they called?
Oh, the I know what you're talking about.
They hold your foot at a John has these things. What are they?
The sole steps
that hold your foot at a specific angle, so that instead of having to corkscrew down yourself and set your feet the right way, they set them for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the good thing about them is that they take away all the knee pain, mm-hmm. and they do make some of these lifts easier. But it's the same concept as the shoes. They just put you where you're supposed to be to take away the pain instead of fixing the problem, making your feet stronger and making you better, mm-hmm. so that you don't have the pain on your own.
Absolutely.
They do it for you.
Right. And again, there's time and place for everything, right? Like if you're trying to train something and there's, you know, pain that's inhibiting the ability to train something else, and you have a tool like that where you could maybe do something to avoid pain and help train whatever else. But if you did that every single time you worked out, you know, that's like the equivalent of, you know, like wearing these shoes all the time. Like,
of course,
like, you know, you walk around in these running shoes all day, or with these insoles. What are they called? Mm-hmm. I keep calling insoles. Is that
inserts
and insoles.
Inserts, yeah.
Orthotics.
There we go.
That's the word.
You know, you walk around all day with those, you know, and it's just going to exacsperate the problem and make it worse.
And the way John uses those sole steps is as a teaching tool to show people where your feet are supposed to be, and so that they can do it then themselves instead of having to use them.
Everything's got a time and place. Like if you're going on a long hike or something, you know, put the orthotics in and, you know, it'll get you through it if you're like, you didn't do the training up to that point to fix that, you know. But if you walk around all day, every day with them in and you can't, you know, operate and function without them, again, you know, we're beating a dead horse, but it's just, you know, putting a Band-Aid on it and then making it worse.
Now the follow-up on that, and actually in relation with like short foot or flat foots, the inserts, orthotics, whatever you want to call them, they actually help in fact to turn off the muscles and the nerves in there, because you're putting consistent pressure on a specific point, and you can just consider that a massage all day on that one spot. You are turning off musculature, you're turning off all the ligament, tendon, everything that's running through there, so you're losing stiffness. And you'll see a lot of people who have those arches or have the inserts have not much of an arch, and that's why they have it, because they're like, oh, I'm going to build an arch back in there,
right?
But that arch is your body's natural strength supporting itself on the ground. That's your body's ability to put its weight into the ball of the foot and the heel of the foot, but keeping the arch off the ground.
Right, right.
So strengthening the feet helps strengthen the arch, get people out of that flat foot position, because now they're activating all those little minuscule muscles in the foot, all the muscles in the calf that don't normally get fired up, and they help support that. So now you don't have the collapse of the arch, you don't have the collapse of the ankles, and you just get everything in one consistent normal position, a force production position, as we like to say.
Right. So trainer nerd talk.
I forget who I was talking to this about with this, but the body is a very efficient thing. If you don't use something, it goes, oh, we don't have to use this, and it turns it off.
Yeah.
It's the range of motion, like in hips and anything. If you don't use that range of motion, that range of motion goes away because your body doesn't think it needs it.
Right.
And it's not going to waste time and energy on something that you're never going to use.
It'll always take the path of least resistance.
Exactly. Of course.
And it'll form bad habits around that.
And it's very adaptive. It can get used to a lot of things.
It could operate in a lot of, you know, sketchy situations in terms of anatomically.
Well, sure. It's all compensation.
Yeah. That's why some people walk around with so many injuries, but that's also why we can walk around with so many injuries too, because our body can compensate for it.
Right. So in that, you know, the way you're talking about foot placement and where your pressure is and stuff, go to Walmart, right? They have those Dr. Scholl's machines. Have you guys ever stood on them?
Absolutely.
And the colors will change based upon where your pressure points are, and then they prescribe, you know, your $60 insert.
That's funny you say that.
Why is that funny?
Because about a year and a half ago, literally a month before I bought these shoes, I was in the decision making of getting new shoes with orthotics, or getting these and just suffering through. And I decided to pay for these instead. I paid a couple extra, $100, $150, and then I got these instead. huge decision. So I did the foot mapping and everything. I saw where my foot arches was, and my feet tend to roll in. I've always had knees that caved in a little bit, always had ankles that caved in a little bit. So my pressure points were on the inside of my big toe, less on the outside of my foot, really heavy on the inside of my heel, not so much on the outside. I went back, I think, 2 weeks ago, and I'm not perfectly balanced, but you can see the red is now spread across the whole of the ball of my foot. You can see it into my pinky toes, and you can see it all along the outside of my foot as well now. Yeah. It's not completely red yet, but that's where I'm building up to, is I have red along the outside and nothing in that little arch pocket.
Yeah, it's very interesting jumping on those machines. Yeah. But Wii Sports also has a game where you stand on the balance board and there's a circle and you have to keep the circle or the dot inside the circle. So you just start off standing and you're like, wow, I am so far off. And then you start leaning forward and doing all these adaptations to get that dot in the circle. And it's like when you finally do it, A, it's really hard to maintain. And B, you feel so screwed up because you're almost leaning. It's so unnatural to have this perfect upright position. But that's the position you need to be in for your feet to be happy.
That's kind of the same concept as those sole steps Zant was just talking about. Your goal on those ones is to get yourself standing normally and then shift your weight forward till your feet or heels just want to come off. And then it's actually teaching you from that point on to shift back until you feel balanced pressure. But it's that forward back recalibrating and then setting in position, engaging. That's what those things are meant for, so you can find that position.
Pretty cool. Very cool.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, I'm not a doctor, chiropractor, whatever. What's a foot doctor?
Podiatrist.
Yeah, I'm not a podiatrist, so I could be wrong. I'm probably wrong with all these. Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty sure, like, 90% of people with quote-unquote flat feet are not genetically flat-footed. That's just, it's happened, and it can be reversed with diligent work, with practice, with, you know, exercising, you know, specifically for that purpose.
Absolutely.
You know, it can be reversed if that's something that you want to do. But like I said, and like we've all said, you can't just jump into it and just start sprinting barefoot.
I was going to bring that up.
Just start walking around first.
Yeah. So, you know, again, talk to your doctor, talk to your podiatrist. You know, if you're one of those people, which they're probably going to tell you are because they don't want to lose business. That's my, not to saying that all of them are like that. There's probably a lot of really good podiatrists out there. And just like there's a lot of really good doctors out there, but there's also a lot of bad doctors and bad trainers and bad cops and bad teachers, bad everything, who take advantage of the system and, you know, who will get you coming back for more if, right, the orthotics, you have to buy them fairly regularly, like once a year or something like that, you know, and they're like $600, $500, $600. And, you know, you go to Walmart and go on Dr. Scholl's thing and do that. And they're that's like $100 or whatever, like, you know, but like you literally go to Walmart and do it. Now, if you got, go to the Walmart by me, you're not taking your shoes off and stepping on that thing because the people walking to that Walmart. But you know, it just like everything else we've talked about since we started this show, but you know, since you know, whole pandemic is you know, be your own advocate. You know, talk to your doctor, but also do your own research. You know, and you know, you can more than likely at least better your situation a little bit and strengthen your feet a little bit, which might help some pain somewhere else up the line. So that's kind of my public announcement is just, you know, don't just, you know, get hooked on the system of putting pillows in your shoes. You know, there might be another solution to the problem.
And I'd say anybody hearing this and they want to get into the barefoot thing or learn about how to use minimal shoes or just get better with their feet, take a lacrosse ball, put that at the bottom of your foot, sit on a chair, put as much pressure as you comfortably can into that ball and roll it around the entirety of the bottom of your foot. Feel it. Not, not even for the sake of putting pressure down hard.
Right.
It's for just being able to sake of getting the feeling in the foot.
Right.
And then start wiggling your toes a little bit. Move your toes around. Try to spread them out. You don't even have to go walking around barefoot. Just getting access to your toes and the ability to move your toes separately of your foot is the start to all this. And then start going on your barefoot walks. Walk around your backyard. Walk around your house barefoot. Not in socks.
barefoot.
Mm-hmm. That's a big difference mm-hmm. between the two.
Mm-hmm. Tiptoe around.
Good point.
And then you start building in from there. You start working on calf raises, toe raises. You're trying to work every little joint and ligament in there, but it starts off with release some tension, get the nerves firing, get the muscles firing, and then build from there.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, you don't have to, you know, crush the lacrosse ball the first time you're doing it, right? Just feel it. Just roll it around. It doesn't have to be painful.
No.
It could just be, you know, creating that sensation that you probably have, you know,
never felt before.
Yeah, your body's neglected for a long time. So it's really good advice to start there. And, you know, you could take this as far as you want, obviously, you know, but just having the awareness that your feet do a lot more than what they do now, or they're supposed to do a lot more than what they do now, and you know, having that mindset is key to, you know, making this, just like anything else, but making this change. And just knowing that alone might help you, or help one of our listeners, you know, stop some pain, or at least, you know, lessen some chronic pain.
Absolutely.
You know?
It's not just for people that have pain either. It's athletes, right, and everybody that are listening that just want to be stronger.
Absolutely.
All those little things, you know, it does make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, that will definitely, if you're, you know, someone who's, you know, trying to get your lower body stronger, that might be a point of plateau right there.
Absolutely.
Right. That you're ignoring. So any final thoughts? Anything else?
That's all I got. Treat your feet well. Walk around. Move around. Don't beat them up too much.
Mm-hmm. Get foot massages.
I was just going to say, have a husband do a foot massage.
Absolutely.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or wife.
Or Mike, wife.
Why can't a wife
girlfriend
do it?
I'm just speaking on...
2022, okay. You can have anybody do it.
That's true.
Absolutely.
Anything do it.
That's true. Just don't go to the place on 10, because they do more than that.
Unless you want that.
Unless you want that. Apparently, there's a lot of them around here that do that.
That's what I've been
hearing. So I've been told.
That's what I've been hearing. That's
all right, with that, show. John, our closing statements.
Yeah.
Everybody, if you enjoyed the show, please make sure to like us on all medias. So we have Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, or mm-hmm. Apple Play. Mm-hmm. Make sure you like, subscribe, make sure you comment down below,
please,
because that actually gets us a little bit more access than mm-hmm. just liking and liking and sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure if you have a friend, recommend it to a friend.
Yes. Share it.
Yes. All right.
All platforms. That's good, John.
I'd give him like a C+.
Oh yeah.
I'll practice that one a little
bit
more.
I think you got a little smooth. I mean, we did kind of throw him on the spot today and just say, do it. I mean, you threw him because I gave it to you. I told you were going
to
close.
You gave it to
me. I said you were
going to
close the show
off.
Well, I'm pretty sure that you gave it to John.
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. You
I
said,
well,
it sounds like John's done it. Let's have John do it.
This is why we need this on video, so that we can go back and watch the pre-talk. But yeah, no, I'll give you C+
because I
need some room to grow.
Okay.
You know, if I give you an A, you can't grow
that's
from
true.
There.
Perfect.
I give him a C-.
I'll take that.
C-?
That was more my high school grades. So.
All right, cool.
All right, well, I guess it was supposed to end on that. So, John, you want to end it again?
Thank you guys for joining us. Make sure you like us. It's like, subscribe, and share on all media outlets, whether it's Spotify, Apple Play, or Google.
Your grades are getting worse.
Yeah, that was
good.
The first one was good.
Yeah.
Just rewind, listen to the last outro.
I would edit that
buy,
out,
subscribe.
But I don't think I'm going to. I think I'm pretty sure I want to have our listeners hear that. If they made it this long.
Yeah, they're gone.
Tom was probably gone 7 minutes ago.
Yeah. That's true.
Comment both John's grades.
Once he heard Route 10.
First and second outro.
Foot massage Route 10.
If you're
like,
one of John's
done.
High school teachers, please let us know if he's improved since then. All right. Well, talk to you soon, guys. Be well.
Bye.